Well, it's good to be with you this morning and excited to be able to share God's word with you. Thank you, Andrew, for picking some of my favorite hymns today and songs. I don't know why, how that happens. We must be just on the same train of thought. I don't know, but some great, great, great songs, my favorites, but also very appropriate for what I'm going to be sharing this morning. So I want to, right now, if you can, you can be turning in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses really 1 through 10. But talking about, you know, things that, how life changes. You know, life is kind of, it's not static, it's dynamic. And you would think a guy that's, you know, 72 years old, has got this figured out by now that life changes. But I'm still surprised. I mean, I understand that life changes. I mean, I've got grandchildren that are getting older. And in fact, I have 25 grandchildren, 15 grandchildren, 10 great-grandchildren, getting ready to have two more great-grandchildren. So I should know about change. But I went to my 50th class reunion. And I'm thinking, man, I'm looking forward to seeing people. I mean, I'll be able to recognize them, and they'll recognize me, and it's going to be great. I get there, and I say, who are these people? It's like, they have changed. I've changed. And I'm glad we had name tags, because without name tags, I wouldn't have a clue who those people were that I was talking to. And the thing was that some of the people that I knew that I really kind of had some problems with, it's almost like life and stuff that happened in their life changed them. They became different people, people of grace and compassion and understanding, where they weren't like that before. But it's amazing. Life does change. And that's a good thing. But two, we need to understand that in the midst of life changes, and you know our world is changing, and your circumstances change on a daily, weekly, monthly, and some of the changes can be dramatic, some can be very difficult and hard. So how do we navigate all that without drifting away from the Lord and staying moored to the reality of God's truth in His Word? We're going to be looking in that this morning as we look at 1 Peter chapter 2, because we're going to have some reminders of the realities that act kind of like a spiritual compass to our lives and give us strength for our lives and stability for our lives. So if you can, follow me along in 1 Peter chapter 2 and listen to the challenge of the Apostle Peter. He says, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. And coming to him as the living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in me will not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected has become the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, for they stumbled because they are disobedient to the word. And to this doom they were appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. A lot of encouragement and challenges in that word of God. So we're going to be looking at three, I think, important things of these verses this morning that I want us to focus on as I look at these verses. One of the things is God makes us into living stones. A second thing is we are people of the Lord's possession. And thirdly, we have the privilege of proclaiming the praises of God. Well, let's look at that first point, that God is making us into living stones. Peter writes, coming to him a living stone. Now, you hear those words, living stone. Sounds kind of like an oxymoron. These two elements, they seem kind of contradictory. Living stone. Ever seen a living stone? Kind of like phrases, the living dead, jumbo shrimp, working vacation. Some of these things just don't go together. Living stone. What's that mean? Well, if we understand what Peter is referring to, refers to coming to him, a living stone, we realize it means so much more to us. In using the term living stone, Peter is referring to Jesus Christ. He is the precious building stone. He is the solid foundation for our lives. Living stone emphasizes the living quality of Jesus, but also his divine character as the Son of God. He is the living stone because he, Jesus Christ, lives forever, having risen from the dead. Not only is he alive, but he also gives life to all who come to him. See, the Bible is very clear about the nature of man. It points it out in several places in the Bible. But one of those places is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. It states that outside of Christ, it says in 2:1, that you were dead in your trespasses and sins. But Paul also gives us some good news in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. He says, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you've been saved. See, that's why we need to come to Christ. Because there's nothing that we can do to bring spiritual life to ourselves, but we need to come to Jesus, because spiritual life only comes through the one who has been resurrected from the dead and desires to give us life. But we need to understand this. Being united with Christ also means being united in his purpose as people, as his church in the world. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, he says, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. See, when we come to Christ, we're no longer our own. We become God's building materials. We're privileged to access, one of the things is the spiritual power of God, because we've been filled with the Holy Spirit of God, be able to live out the Christian life. The Spirit of God resides in us, but our life is not about just doing our thing, but it's also about God's purposes, God's plans, God's ways. See, this is the dynamic change, and it's sometimes hard for us to grasp because of the world in which we live, and the cultural idea is that life is all about us and the things that we want to do. And sometimes that's hard to get that out of our mind, thinking that it's all about us and what we desire for our life. But we've been changed to live out God's purposes. We are living stones. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10 reminds us of this reality. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Listen to this. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand so that we would walk in him. We are living stones to be lifing out God's purposes. And so this is related to the second point that I want to make this morning. We are people of God for his possession. Notice the words in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. God stakes a claim upon your lives. The Greek term possession really means to purchase, to acquire at a price. All believers belong to Christ because he bought us with his shed blood. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19, 20 makes this clear. He says, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, that you are not your own, for you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. We've been bought. We've been paid for by the blood of Jesus to life out Christ's life in us. Jesus gave his life blood for us, that not only you could be forgiven of your sins, but and he could cleanse you, but also to fill you. He bought you that you could be his possession. I got to thinking about what it means to be in possession of something. Some of you have bought homes and signed contracts on homes. My wife have done this several times. My mom always got frustrated because she said she got tired of scratching out where we'd lived, because we'd lived in so many places that she had to get a new page for all the places we had moved. So we know what it's all about moving into a new home and taking possession. What happens when you do that? When you sign the papers, when you get the key, when you go in the home? Well, the house doesn't stay the same, does it? We paint, maybe we paper, we furnish, we make the home our home. That matches our desires, our taste, our likes, our priorities, our purposes. Our home begins to more and more reflect us. Not our parents, not our neighbors, not the past occupants, but us. If we are God's possession, what will our lives reflect? Will we continue to lift out our priorities, or will we begin to look more and more like Jesus Christ? Romans 8, 29 says that we are to be conformed to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. In John 14, 23, it says, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him, or to dwell in him. So there's a dramatic change that takes place in our lives, that Jesus Christ wants to refurnish our life, that we continue to more and more look like him. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17 is kind of a lengthy verse, but I need to share because it's talking about putting on the new self. It says, so those who have been chosen by God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Oftentimes I have to keep working on that one right there over and over. Beyond these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of peace. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, so that indeed you were called into one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom and teaching, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing thankfulness in your hearts. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to the Father. And what it looks like, the changes that the Lord Jesus Christ desires to make in our lives. See, you're not the owner and landlord of your life in that very real sense. You're not renting out space to Jesus. and putting a list of restrictions of what he can do and what he can't do. No, he is the Lord of our life. God has taken possession for his purpose, and that brings us to the last point. In 1 Peter 2:9, it says, clearly tells us that we are a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The word proclaim, it means to publish. It means to advertise. And so in a sense, telling someone something they didn't know. Christians, we have a distinct privilege to advertise, to evidence the life of Christ before a watching world. And you may think, well, do they really care? Do the people that I work with, they seem so careless. They seem so distant from me. They seem so preoccupied and think, well, they're not watching me. I think they are. I know they are, because over and over I've had people come up to me and says, and maybe you've had this happen in your life, and people say, what's different about you? Why are you different? And maybe that's even more dramatic in the world in which we live today. But we need to be those people that proclaim, that we publish, that we advertise the life of Christ. That is our privilege. We are advertisement to the greatness of God and his salvation. I'm sure you've heard this before. It's a well-worn statement, but it's true that our lives sometimes are the only Bible the people will ever read. And so that our privilege is to proclaim the word through our life. I want to challenge you with words. It was some words from the last chapter of the book, Unshaken. And the writer of that book says, there is a relationship between the depth of our surrender to Christ and the richness and vibrancy of our faith. It is true that as we walk in the light, the Holy Spirit shows us more areas to be surrendered to the Lord. But the heart commitment, the response of Christ and his word must be settled. We are passionate pursuers of Jesus. We've decided to live and move in one direction towards Jesus. We stop making excuses for our disobedience and view repentance as a gift from God to keep on pursuing the heart of God, that when we fall, that we still pursue the heart of the Savior and his will for our lives. We want to be all in. And I like what he continues to say here, because it's so true. Too many of us are like those fruit drinks that contain 10% juice. We want to be flavored by Jesus, but not filled with Jesus. Is it any wonder why we struggle in our faith? Is it any wonder why sometimes the watching world is scratching their head, confused what it means to be a follower of Jesus? Jesus is not playing games. He didn't come to die for us so that we might just set aside certain parts of our life and say, okay, I'll give this to Jesus, but I'm keeping this. No, he didn't do that. He wants us to be committed to him in all of our life and have open doors to what he desires to do in our life. I was reading a book entitled Suffering by Paul David Tripp. And he's a man who's done ministry so many years and spoke so well and so motivated that he even says for him to sleep is just something that gets in the way of him doing what he wants to do. So he's very driven. But Paul David Tripp came under very serious health issues and illness. In fact, surgery after surgery after surgery, kidneys failing. And so going through all that, he came to the point in his life where he realized that in the midst of his suffering, he realized that there was still something lacking in his faith, because he was caught up in doing it in his own strength and his own power, and he realized that what God was showing him is that wasn't about him, it was about the Lord at work in his life. And his faith needed to be in Christ. God is the living stone, and in him we find life and eternal life. Nothing is impossible for God to do in your life and the changes that need to be made in your life. We are God's building materials to advertise, to live out the life of Christ. I want to conclude with a story about a man that we know. He's been a prisoner at the Bowling Green prison and other prisons. He was in Jeff City for many, many years. His name is Elmer Hayes. He's 80 years old. A lot of my kids and grandkids, I've got two of my grandkids, I know that have seen Elmer, right? And spent time with him. But Elmer in his Christian life, his dramatic salvation experience that God came to him and almost like a Paul kind of experience, salvation experience. But Elmer is so grounded in the Word of God. People have said that when they go to visit Elmer, because I've had people share to go see him and spend time with him, and he speaks to their needs. But he says, when I go see Elmer, it's like getting a shot with a fire hose with the Word of God, because God has spoken to him. And I always wanted to take a piece of paper and write things down, he said, because I get out of there and I forget what he told me. But you can't take paper and pen in the visiting room at the prison. But I wanted to share this about Elmer, is that I didn't go on this adventure, but Linda took a couple of my granddaughters, Angie and Ashlyn, up there. And you can imagine, they were just, at the time, they were just little girls. And so they spent time with Elmer. And of course, Elmer's this knowledgeable man. I think he knows the Word of God most than professors or great preachers. But he was telling me, because I just talked to him yesterday, Elmer's found out that he has terminal cancer, and he wants to be able to share the reality of Christ, and he wants to be thankful for the things that happened in his life. And he's got a great memory, so he remembers about everything. But remembers the time that Ashlyn and Angie came to visit him. And one of the things they wanted to do while they were there, which at the time when I first heard it, that's kind of different. But they said, can we tell you some blonde jokes? And so Angie and Ashlyn began to share back and forth blonde jokes with Elmer. And I can imagine that was pretty amazing. And he was laughing and enjoying it. And it was such a blessing to him. But some of the things, and I'll just mention, it was Ashlyn that shared these things that when she was talking with Elmer, she says, do you ever just feel like you need a hug, Elmer? And of course, he probably feels that way. But something she also said, and I don't know if it was the same thing or it was a phone call that she had with him, but she also asked him, and he remembered this, says, do you ever pray for the guards? And so it was kind of convicting to him about a little girl asking him if he prays for the guards. But the amazing thing about, and the reason I'm telling you this story is that Elmer says, you know, a lot of people had shared things with him and spent time with him and adults and shared things with him. But what spoke to him the most was two children with pure hearts being able to share the reality of God's love with him. No pretense, but loving him because of spending so many years in prison that the whole prison life just hardens you and you don't see things. But he felt like these two young girls made him feel at home and loved and part of our family. My wife told Elmer, says, you've been adopted into our family. Well, Angie and Ashlyn made him feel even better because he continues to remember, girls, what you did. Because what you did is you advertised the love of God. That's all of our jobs, is to advertise Jesus. I don't care who it is. And we need to be, as we're walking out our life in the world today, we need to be praying about how God wants us to advertise, to life out his life in front of people, and be able to show the love of God. You don't even realize the things that you say and you do. Even if you're telling blonde jokes, you know, the guy that spoke to a man spending so many decades of his life in prison, and it broke his heart open to see the mercy and the grace of God. That's all of our opportunities. And maybe you've not come to the point in your life that you surrendered your heart and life to Jesus. Well, Jesus wants to be your living stone. He wants to be your Savior and Lord. And if you've ever given your heart and life to Christ, you have that opportunity really every Sunday that you're here. But open your heart to Christ, because Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way. But if you're a Christian, realize this, that change happens. And we go through difficulties sometimes and stressors in our life. And sometimes, you know, those things cause us to struggle, and maybe even to be moved in a direction away from Christ. But I'm going to challenge you today to, again, refocus your life upon Jesus. He loves you. He cares about you. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He loves you more than anyone else in the whole world. So come to Him, the living stone. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity to share the reality of Your life. And Lord, sometimes we recognize that the difficulties of life, Lord, and sometimes, you know, the direction of life sometimes changes because life is so dynamic. But help us, Lord, even today, to be thinking about where we are in our walk with You. And Lord, I pray that if we're reminded today that there's some places in our life that we just need to bring before You, Lord, that we'll take the opportunity even today to bring our life before You, to repent of areas of our life in which we've strayed. And God, I just thank You for that opportunity. I'm thankful that You desired to create in us a clean heart so that we might worship You wholly and totally and serve You. May we again recognize that, God, you've saved us for a purpose to serve You. And God, that we're reminded of that. We can do that within the life of our church and whatever we do. And Lord, again, remind us that even the simplest words have the opportunity to break open the heart of the hardest person. So give us grace and compassion, and help us to be walking out our life today with the thought of people that are around us, family, friends, fellow students, fellow co-workers, and may we be an advertisement for You. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand?